May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is a feast day in our church. It is the feast day of the baptism of our Lord, the day when we celebrate Jesus' baptism and our own. Why did Jesus insist on being baptized? This gospel passage raises that question for us. As you know, John the Baptist was out there in the Jordan River calling people to repent and baptizing many, many people. Jesus did not need to repent, did he? Don't we say that Jesus is the only one who was without sin? Now, John the Baptist himself was taken aback by Jesus' request, and he tried to argue with Jesus. After all, remember that John was the one who said, "I am not worthy to carry his sandals." How could he be worthy to baptize the Messiah? But Jesus insisted on being baptized by John. Why? Perhaps Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan to show us in a very powerful way that he was casting his lot in with all of us, with all of humanity. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, says the Gospel of John. And he allows himself to be baptized in the dirty water of the world's sin to show us that we, too, are beloved by God. And when Jesus rose from the waters of baptism, he saw us, the Spirit, as a dove coming out of the heavens, and a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." All of us need to know and feel that we are beloved. Now, if we were lucky growing up, we got this message early on from our parents or other people who were with us as we grew. Maybe a teacher or a coach or a mentor helped us to know and to feel that. But not all people get that message when they are growing up. And even when we do, there is so much in our culture that goes against this message. If we were to take our cues from television and videos and other media, we might begin to believe that we are beloved only if we are very rich or famous or infamous or young or beautiful or really, really good at sports or a famous singer. All of us need to know that God loves us and that we are, each of us, that we are beloved. And each one of us can help others around us to know this by giving them a blessing. Henry Nouwen wrote in his Life of the Beloved about us giving blessing to each other and about belovedness. He wrote this: "To give a blessing to another person is to say yes to a person's belovedness. The blessings that we give to each other are expressions of the blessings that rest on us from all eternity. It is the deepest affirmation of our true self. It is not enough to be chosen, he says. We also need an ongoing blessing that allows us to hear in an ever new way that we belong to a loving God who will never leave us alone, but will remind us that we are guided by love on every step of our lives. To give a blessing is to say yes to a person's belovedness. Fred Craddock, a teacher of preaching who I was blessed to have at my time in seminary, has preached many, many sermons and written many books. And he tells a story about visiting a woman from his church years and years ago who was about to have major surgery, and she was in the hospital. He says, I went to see her in the hospital, and she had never been in the hospital before, and the surgery was major. She was a nervous wreck, he said, and she started crying. She wanted me to pray with her, which I did. By her bed, there was a stack of books and magazines. True Love, Mirror, Hollywood Today, stuff about Elizabeth Taylor and folk. She just had a stack of them there, and she was a wreck. It occurred to me, he says, there's not a calorie in that whole stack to help her through her experience. There was nothing there that would help her with what she was experiencing. She had no place to dip down into a reservoir and come up with something. A word, a phrase, a thought, an idea, a memory, a person. Just empty. He goes on to write, and if you remember, if you lived up north, this will make more sense to you, or if you can imagine living somewhere where you actually grow all your own food, this image will speak to you more. How marvelous, he says, is the life of a person who, like a wise homemaker, when the berries and fruits and vegetables are ripe, puts them away in jars and cans in the cellar. Then, when the ground is cold, icy, and barren, and nothing seems alive, she goes down into the cellar, comes up, and it's May and June at her family's table. How blessed is that person? God wants all of us to have a cellar full of things that will help us in hard times. And Henry Nouwen gives us some practical suggestions in his book, so we can be more like that wise homemaker. He gives us some things for us to do so that we can remember that we are beloved, even in the worst of times. Nouwen says that we need to focus on prayer and presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. We need to spend time with God in prayer. Now, we all know this, and I would bet that we all don't do this as much as we would like to, as much as we want to, or as much as we think we should, myself included. We need to spend time with God in prayer every day. And daily prayer is a part of our Anglican tradition. In the prayer book, we have morning prayer, noonday prayer, evening prayer, Compline, and even other short forms of prayer that we can use. And I know some of you do this as part of your rule of life. But there are many ways to spend time with God. And Nouwen encourages us especially to use silence as a way of listening to God. Just spending time sitting in silence with God. He says we need to practice being present. Now that may sound strange to you, but if you pay attention sometime to your thoughts and how much time you spend thinking of something that happened in the past or thinking about something that might happen in the future, instead of paying attention to what's happening right now, I think you might be surprised. Many of us spend so much energy either fretting about something that happened in the past or worrying about what might happen in the future. And that can keep us from being really present in the moment. And it is in the moment, in the present, that God is with us. Our culture has really trained us out of being present in the moment. We multitask, many of us, maybe all of us, multitask most of the time, particularly now if you have a smartphone or a computer or an iPad or, you know, it's not all bad, but we are doing 5 things at once most of the time. And sometimes we need to give ourselves permission to do just one thing. A spiritual director at a retreat for clergy in Maine said to us, make sure that every day you spend at least 5 minutes not multitasking. If you are around young children or animals, you know that they live in the present moment. And when we're with them, that is a gift that they give us. They help us to do that. So we can practice just being instead of always doing for at least a few minutes a day for the good of our souls. Another way to do this is to take time to notice the little blessings that come to you every day. Usually they are little things. Perhaps the smile of a child when you pay attention to her or him. Maybe the pattern of the clouds in the sky. If you're like me, the first sip of coffee in the morning. A phone call from a good friend. The list can go on and on and on. But noticing our daily blessings is a good way to remember that we are beloved by God. So today, on the feast of the baptism of our Lord, and during this Epiphany season, I invite you to remember your baptism. Remember that you are beloved, and help others to know their belovedness. Spend time with God, listening and giving thanks for all of your many blessings. And remember that God speaks to each one of us these same words. You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. Amen.